Praise the Lord for the exercise of the Spirit. I really appreciate these messages because it makes me realize that I'm a novice still in the exercise of the Spirit. There's a lot of territory for us to break into in this matter. So the general title is Exercising the Spirit to Enjoy the Lord. And really appreciated that message yesterday on calling on the Lord. Calling on the Lord needs to be recovered, right? Even among us, even though 50 years ago it's been recovered, but still in our experience it needs much recovery. The title of today's message is Exercising the Spirit to Muse on the Word of God. You know, if you'd asked me before I started preparing this message what it means to muse, I don't think I could give you a very good definition of musing. So that shows that in my experience, musing needs to be recovered. And, you know, Brother Lee made a couple of statements in the Life Study of Exodus, message 57, on musing. He said, "It is not possible to describe adequately the practice of musing on the Word." So I don't expect to be able to describe adequately this morning what is the practice of musing on the Word. This is something that still needs our endeavoring to enter into the Word of God and the enjoyment that this affords. So we'll speak something about the enjoyment of musing on the Word this morning, but there's no way that we can possibly describe it adequately. And the second statement he made was, "Musing upon the Word in this way is even richer, broader, and more inclusive than pray reading." So pray reading is not as rich as musing. And pray reading is not as broad as musing. Musing is broader than pray reading, and it's also not as inclusive as pray reading. So actually, I believe pray reading is a part of musing. So this outline starts out with a verse from Joshua 1:8, and it's difficult to really understand this verse without the context. So I'm going to read Joshua 1:1-9, but how about we read together the Roman numeral 1, which is Joshua 1:8. Ready? Go. "This book of the law, depart from your mouth, but you shall muse upon it day and night, so that you may be certain to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." So this verse talks about musing, and also at the end of this verse, it talks about being prosperous and having a success. Okay? So let me read Joshua 1:1-9. Verse 1, "After the death of Moses, the servant of Jehovah, Jehovah spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' attendant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, arise and cross over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I'm giving to them, to the children of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your feet treads, I have given to you, as I promised Moses.'" So this was right before the children of Israel enter into the good land. If you remember the story, Moses was on the mountain. He saw the good land, but he didn't enter into the good land. So the context here is entering into the good land. That is where this verse takes place, right when the children of Israel were about to enter into the good land. So musing on the Word is related to entering into the good land. Verse 4, "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory." We need to possess a territory, okay? "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you and will not fail or you or forsake you. Be strong and take courage, for you will cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them." Again, inherit the land. "Only be strong and very courageous, being certain to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn away from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go." So here he brings in the matter of the law and doing according to the law. which Moses commanded you, not turning to the right or to the left of the law, and that you may have a success wherever you go. The success here, in context, the success is entering into the good land. Then verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall muse upon it day and night, so that you may be certain to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Verse 9, be strong and take courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed. For Jehovah your God is with you wherever you go. So in the Old Testament, the goal of the children of Israel and where they were endeavoring to enter was into the good land. That was the promised land by God, and that was where they were going. And they had to fight to get into that land. And we have to realize that actually that's a type of our New Testament pursuit. So all of us must realize that we too must press on and endeavor to enter into the New Testament land, okay? And what is this New Testament land? How about sisters read A? So the land in the Old Testament was exceedingly rich and it was exceedingly vast, but it was only a picture. In the New Testament, we must be clear that the land which we're pursuing is more exceedingly rich and more exceedingly vast, and the Old Testament land typifies the God-given Christ with all his unsearchable riches. So our portion in the New Testament is not the physical land, but it is the all-inclusive Christ, right? And this is mysterious, so there's the land as a picture, but if you look at these verses, Colossians 1:12 talks about giving thanks to the Father who qualified us for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. So when Paul wrote that verse, he had in mind the children of Israel possessing the land in the Old Testament and allotting a portion of that land to every one of the tribes of the children of Israel. And so we also have been allotted a portion, but our portion is not a physical land. The portion that we've been allotted is a portion of Christ, the all-inclusive Christ. And in Ephesians, Paul tells us that the dimensions of this Christ are universal. They're universally vast. Can you imagine what a great portion? You have a universal portion, right? This Christ that we are to possess is larger, is greater than the entire universe. The entire universe is a picture, and our portion is to enjoy this Christ. And when we enjoy this Christ, eventually all the riches of this Christ are constituted into us, and we become the fullness or the expression of all these unsearchable riches. And we will express this universally vast Christ corporately, right? So that is our goal in the New Testament. And but practically, what is the way? We see in Joshua 1:8, the way to possess the land or to possess Christ is by musing on the Word of God. And that's why we come to this message on musing. So the sisters read A. How about the brothers read point B? Okay, that might be a typo there. What does yours say, in terms of or in the term of? Okay, I think it might be in terms of. Anyway, the point is that it's related to Joshua walking in the Word of God. That was how he was to take the land successfully. So, how about the sisters on point one?
The book of the law was not to depart from his mouth, but he was to use upon it day and night.
So how do we know if we are being successful in taking possession of the all-inclusive Christ of the New Testament? The way we know that we are being successful is that we are occupied with the Word. This is the practical way. And just as the matter of calling on the Lord still needs much recovery, the matter of musing also needs much recovery, musing on the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 talks about letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, because the land is rich. Okay, brothers, on point two. Hallelujah. Prosperity and success. I like that verse 3 of Joshua 1. It says, every place which the sole of your foot treads. So we need to enjoy the Word. We need to muse on the Word. And as we're enjoying the Word, we're being constituted with the Word. We're possessing the Word. And our feet is treading on the good land. So I want to read you just, let's see, a little portion from the sixth lesson on New Believers series. Lesson six. Just read you a little portion. Okay, this is on the section on contacting God Himself. Each time we come to read the Bible, we should be inwardly prepared to meet God. We have to realize this. When we come to the Word is the embodiment of God Himself. John 1:1 says that the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. That was Christ, the embodied Word. So when we enjoy this Word, when we come to the Word, we are coming to God Himself. This is not a small thing. And, when I was, I accidentally prepared tomorrow morning's message yesterday. And I'll just share one little point from that is that, and it's on prayer. Prayer is also an exercise of the Spirit to possess the Lord. But the definition of prayer is to contact God and absorb God. Okay, so this is not a small thing. When we come to the Word, we should exercise our spirit, because we don't come to the Word in a formal way. It's not a dead letter, but it's a living person. It's the embodiment of God. So we need to exercise our spirit when we come to the Word. And when we exercise our spirit, we contact God, who is Spirit. Right? The Lord said, my words are spirit and life. So when we contact the Spirit, we actually absorb God. Can you imagine? We can absorb God. We can possess God. We can gain God. And, yesterday in the first meeting, the brother shared about these ones who got $100 million by going out to the edge of the universe. Actually, I don't think they went to the edge of the universe. They just barely scraped the surface. They went out there and they thought they had a big success. But every time we come to the Word and we contact God, and we gain God, we're having a much bigger success than that. It's worth more than $10 million. It's worth more than $10 million, right? So we should appreciate the Word. We should endeavor to get into this Word, to contact God, to absorb God, and to gain God, and to gain the all-inclusive Christ as our possession, right? This is where our endeavor should be. So I didn't finish that little excerpt, sorry. So it says we should not read the Bible merely with our mind. We must seek God with our spirit and our heart. We must have a sincere heart to draw near to God, and a quiet and open spirit to fellowship with Him. So this is all related to musing. And how about let's all together read Roman numeral 2. Okay, so you all should know 2 Timothy 3:16, right? That's all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable, right? It's profitable for musing. So how about sisters on A? And brothers on B.
The use of the word is to taste and enjoy
it, prayer for the spirit, praising the Lord, and also be included in the using of our word. So, musing is like the cows when they chew the cud when they're eating grass, right? This is not something to be done quickly. It takes time to chew. We need to spend time to chew on the word and to digest the word, right? And very careful, in a very careful way. And if we do it this way, this will bring in much enjoyment, right? We shouldn't do it quickly. And it shouldn't be an exercise of our soul. It really needs to be an exercise of our spirit. Pray over the word. Surely, pray reading is a good way to enter into the word, right? And to begin our musing. When we do this, as we enter, exercise our spirit to enter into the word, then spontaneously, right, prayer may come out of us. Prayer comes out of musing on the word. Sometimes we might say, oh, let's sit down and pray. We don't know what to pray about. But when you're musing on the word, prayer may spontaneously come out of you. So that's one issue of musing on the word. And that's included in our musing. There should be a lot of prayer in our musing and speaking, right? So then also we may spontaneously begin to praise the Lord. When you begin to possess the good land and enjoy the riches of the good land, you may spontaneously begin to praise the Lord. I believe we've all had experiences of this, right? And we may even want to shout. You just got into the word. When you got into the word, you weren't in a very good condition, but you began to muse on the word, then all of a sudden, in your musing, you want to shout. You may even want to shout out, right? And that's an exercise of the spirit. Everything that we do as we're musing on the word should be spontaneous. We're coming to the Lord, right? We're coming to God. We're contacting God. We're experiencing God. We're absorbing God. And we don't know what will happen. You know, if you haven't heard the messages from the International College training on morning revival, you should go back and listen to those. They are very helpful. The brothers were very helpful in this matter. And especially one message I'm thinking of about the spontaneity of our time. It doesn't have to be so rigid. Just follow the Lord, follow the Spirit, contact the Lord. And there's many things that will come out of this. You just can't predict, okay? Even we may give ourselves a rebuke. As you're in the Word, you may just be so touched and convicted, and you just rebuke yourself. That's musing on the Word. That's a form of musing. See, it's included. All these things are included in musing. You also may weep. Sometimes you get into the word, you know, there's many kinds, even kinds of weeping. For example, you may weep in repentance. You may just fall on your knees and weep, you know, weep in repentance. Or you may just weep for joy because you're possessing something of Christ, such a precious treasure. Or you may weep in appreciation of all that he's gone through to make this land available to you. You may also weep in concern for someone else. It's hard to say. There's so many things that come out of musing. You may converse with the Lord. You may speak to yourselves. You may speak concerning his mercy, concerning his salvation, your appreciation of his salvation. And you may speak concerning his gracious supply. All these things are in the Psalms, okay? The psalmist practiced these things. So to muse on the word is to contact God in the word and to have fellowship with God. This is really wonderful, right? We should spend a lot of time doing this. This is what our job is in the New Testament. In this way, we're infused by God. We breathe Him into us, and we receive spiritual nourishment. Then one last point. The psalmist, in 119, 147, he said, "I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word." And then in the next verse, he says, "My eyes prevent the night watches that I might muse upon thy word." So in this experience, the psalmist was so desperate to contact God, to absorb God, that he couldn't sleep. He woke up in the middle of the night and he cried to the Lord. He cried, right? That he needed the word of God. And his eyes prevented the night watches. He was so desperate to gain this all-inclusive land. Praise the Lord. So I'll just read one last quote, one last point. That in the book, Pilgrim's Progress, is a place where the pilgrim reads the Bible, and he's weeping, shouting, and repenting. Right? This is all included in musing on the Word. And as I said earlier, it's not possible to describe adequately. So this is just to scratch the surface of musing. But this is something that we all need to enter into. Amen.
Amen. Read the title under message 2. Exercising the what?
Spirit.
What?
Spirit.
We want to be exercising the Spirit.
Amen.
So you may think musing has something to do with your mind or how, you know, well put your thought process is, how logical you are, how reasonable you are. But the musing on the Word of God that we're talking about here is very much related to our spirit. Okay? So first thing is, in Roman numeral 3, to muse upon the word is to chew the cud, like a cow eating grass. And so this matter of chewing the cud, if you don't know the process, but the cow needs to chew grass, break down the tough fibers, regurgitates it, swallows it back in, and it passes through a process of digestion and breaking down through multiple stomachs. Okay? Well, why is the word so important? In the morning line here, we talked about calling on the Lord and exercising our spirit. Well, the next thing is the word, and then tomorrow we're talking about prayer. The word is very important in our exercise of the spirit. Who here is a master exerciser of their spirit? Please raise their hand. No one. Okay, good. We're all learning. I'm not one. Notice I didn't raise my hand. So we're all learning here. Okay, so this message is not just for you, it's for me, it's for all of us. We need to learn, and we need to exercise. Well, Mark 12:30, you all have this memorized, correct? How about you recite this, Mark 12:30. Go.
You shall love the Lord your God from your whole heart, from your whole soul, from your whole mind, and from your whole strength.
Okay. You shall love the Lord your God from your whole heart, right? Whole, all of it, not just a little bit, all of it. Your whole soul, your whole mind, whole strength. Brothers, have you exercised your strength to love the Lord your God? I mean it. It's not just even like, you know, you sit there and you're like, well, I'll just push out my spirit. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. You want to know why sometimes some get enlivened to stand up and declare? Because their whole strength is being exercised, not just part of it. Oh, I'm tired. I'll just sit down and just, you know, well, yeah, everyone else can stand up, but I'll sit down. Are you exercising your whole strength? You're not. You need to exercise your whole strength. Well, in this portion, you may think, okay, God, somewhere there, God. In John 1:1, who knows this verse? And the Word was God. You shall love the Lord your God. Using John 1:1, You shall love the Word. You shall love the Word. Okay? So this matter of musing, I don't want you to think of it as a technique or a method. I want you to think of it as someone, or you will become a muser or a lover of God and His Word. And something that was shared a few years ago, a brother appreciated this. He said, when I come to the Word of God, I'm coming to the God of the Word. Amen?
Amen.
That sound good?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just read through those points there. A, to chew the cud is to receive the Word of God with much reconsideration. Reconsideration. Not just, oh, I've heard it, I agree with it, I appreciate it, and then let's move on. Reconsideration. I hope in your cabin times, you're praying over, fellowshipping over what you heard during the day. You may have situations and concerns. That's okay to bring it up. But you know what's better? Chew the cud. That's a practical point. During this whole week, chew the cud. You get back to your lodging, back to your cabin, chew the cud. B, as we muse upon the Word of God, we should chew the cud. If we take in the Word too quickly, we shall not have very much enjoyment. But if we chew the cud, as we take in the Word, our enjoyment will increase. Do you want your enjoyment of the Word to increase? Well, it takes a little time. Don't rush through. Okay? C, usually musing upon the Word will be slower and finer than pray reading the Word. It's slower and it's finer. How many have you of you have been pray reading those memory verses? Okay, well, you don't have to. I don't want you guys to like, expose everyone else that hasn't been. But just you know, answer it in your mind. Well, you may pray read in this way, in Mark 12:30. You shall love the Lord. Amen. Lord, I love you. Amen. Amen. Love the Lord your God. Amen. Whole heart. Amen. Whole mind. Whole strength. You know, whole soul. Amen. Amen. And you just kind of go through it, and you just blast through it. But how much sank into your being? When you're pray reading or when you're praying over the Word, what gets into you? Is it just that you remembered the Word? Was it a Word that stood out to you? Was your relationship with the Lord enhanced? Did it go deeper? There's this portion here from Philip Spener. He said, let the Word penetrate inwardly into your heart and allow the heavenly food to be digested there so that you get the benefit of its vitality and power. True prayer and the best prayer occurs in the inner man, and it either breaks forth in words, meaning speaking to one another or the gospel, or remains in the soul, yet God will find and hit upon it. Meaning, as you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, God has opportunity to move in your being. He has opportunity to make home in your heart. Roman numeral 4, how about you all read that? All right. So I opened up with this. You may think it's of your mind. You still use your mind, don't get me wrong, okay? It doesn't mean you go brain dead and you just start, you know, babbling things. But it's actually connected to our spirit. So the emphasis is not that you would become a mental person, okay? Again, this is not a method. I don't want you to become a mental person when you think about musing on the Word, like, oh, I need to be deep and muse. Let me remember everything, all the points. What are all the cross-references? That's not the point. It's actually connected to your spirit. Why? Your spirit is a receiving organ. Okay? A, we actively muse upon the attributes of our God in our spirit. We muse upon His dealings with us and His promises to us. As we muse, our inner being is filled with much feeling. Uh-oh. Am I telling you to become an emotional person? No. But when you touch the Lord in His Word, you cannot help but love Him. You cannot help but get a response. The Lord is the greatest attraction in the universe. You touch Him, there will surely be a reaction. B, we should be calm, turn to our spirit, and behold Him. We should then pray according to the inner sense. Well, I'd like to give you some experiences of my own in musing on the Word, because all these things, you may try to make up your own kind of way of musing. That doesn't mean, you know, my experiences are the model or the pattern and you have to experience it in the same way. But actually, these are just experiences of something I've learned, pick up the principles, practice, develop your own relationship with the Lord and the Word. Hopefully this will help you so you don't feel like you have to recreate the wheel in musing on the Word. Well, these are just kind of little testimonies and stories here. But, you know, my wife and I, we have a 6.5-month-old daughter. And as a result of that, there's a significant increase in the financial burden of things. Okay? I was just kind of opening to the Lord. I was driving one day, and then my mom called me. I was using a Bluetooth headpiece. And she said, hey, you know, I know that you know, Abigail needs some baby food later on, so I want to buy you a blender to use. You know, like, it's a very nice, expensive blender to use so you can make good baby food for, you know, your daughter. And there was that kind of a need later on, as she gets older, but I was just very thankful for that kind of provision from family. Very thankful for that. Earlier in the morning, I just wasn't having a good day, and for some reason, that made my day. I was like, I got a blender. And I was just so happy. I was like, wow, that's so, oh, thank you, Lord. So good. It's so good. The Lord doth provide, right? But what happened was, the day before that, I had just been reading 2 Timothy chapter 3. And right as my emotion swelled to be thankful to the Lord, this word came to me. But know this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Of course, I knew, it's kind of hard financially. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Anyway, there's a lot of negative things here. Verse 4 finally says, they're traitors, reckless, blinded with pride, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. And that word struck me in my being. When you memorize these verses, you know what? They're planted into you, and God can re-speak them to you at the appropriate time. You know what the result was? I began to weep before the Lord. Forgive me. I love money. I was so thankful for this blender. But Lord, am I thankful for you? Do I value you more than everything in this universe? At that moment, I have to say, Lord, forgive me. I don't. But I don't agree with that. I want to be a lover of God. In your musing of the Word, on the Word of God, you may weep. You know what you're doing? You're exercising your spirit. That doesn't mean just fabricate crying. But as the Lord touches you in your spirit, you may weep. And you may repent. That's okay. Brothers, have you ever wept before the Lord? Not to complain about your situation, but the Lord shined on you, revealing something in your being that was dirty, that was of sin, that didn't match Him. And then as a result of that shining, did you weep? It's easy to weep over your condition. Difficult. or impossible to just try to fabricate weeping based upon an inward condition that the Lord shines upon. You need the Lord shining. You can't just do it on your own. Well, I don't want to be too heavy. That doesn't mean musing only involves your weeping before the Lord. Positively, in Song of Songs, if you have it, you can follow with me. 1:7, it reads, "Tell me, you whom my soul loves, where do you pasture your flock? Where do you make it lie down at noon? For why should I be like one who is veiled beside the flocks of your companions?" Well, you may read this and think, okay, if you have the footnotes in the recovery version here, you'll read it and you say, okay, that sounds good. That's the church, the flock. It's all the believers. I need to go there. That's the pasture. That's a good line. Amen. And you go really fast. But remember, musing is a little slower and it's a little finer. And, you know, I love Song of Songs. One of my favorite books in the Old Testament. As I was considering this portion before the Lord, "Tell me, you whom my soul loves." So I wrote a little note here. Our ears are open to listen to the Lord when we are loving him. In such a condition, the Lord reveals what is on his heart, the church. These are musings. I'm not sharing these things to boast in myself or anything like that, but I'm hopefully giving you a window and a picture of the preciousness, the enjoyment, the wonderful aspect of becoming one who muses on the Word. Tell me. I pray read this, you know, because prayer reading is part of musing, right? Tell me, Lord, tell me, you whom my soul loves. Then I let the Lord speak back to me. Chris, if you love me, then you can hear me. If your heart is not inclined toward me, I cannot say anything to you. Even if I did, you would not receive it. These kind of interactions happen not in my mind, but in my spirit. Okay? I'll give you a couple more examples. Song of Songs 2:9. "My beloved is like a gazelle or a young hart. Now he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. He is glancing through the lattice." In this portion, there's the seeking lover, and she kind of gets into an introspection of sorts. And as I studied it, I was a little bothered or frustrated. Why is there a wall? And then it says, "behind our wall." Meaning, did the Lord put up a wall too? It belongs to him and her. And so I said, "Lord, this cannot be. I don't think you would forcefully put a wall between us." Again, musing upon it, the wall or the seeker attributes the wall as belonging to the Lord as well. However, this is not correct. She's so stuck in introspection, she begins to blame God on things. In my experience, in your experience, is that not the same? Lord, why did you do that to me? And you think it's him putting up a wall. The Lord is able to expose something in his dealings with me. Chris, it's not our wall. It's your wall. Your heart is a wall against me. But you would attribute the wall as belonging to me. I would never want a wall between us. You touch the Lord's heart in musing on the Word. One more, last one. Song of Songs 2:10. "My beloved responds and says to me, 'Rise up, my love, my beauty, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone.'" I know some of you may know this song and you like the tune. It kind of, you know, makes you feel good and everything. But when you muse on the Word, here's another note. In the midst of our situations, what is real? The life-giving Spirit is real. The rain is over and gone. At a particular time, for me, this portion stood out. was having some difficulty in my relationship with the Lord. There was just certain things that I was not willing to give up. And I thought my situation was just full of death. And I came across this verse. And the Lord was responding to me and saying to me, Chris, rise up, my love, my beauty. Come away. Get out of yourself. The winter is past. The rain is over on God. I'm the life-giving spirit. I'm real. I am the reality and the life. Yeah, it's fine. I jumped to John, the Gospel of John, those portions. When the word is dwelling in you richly, the Lord can speak all kinds of words to you. He can minister all kinds of life and spirit to you. The words which I speak to you are spirit and life. These aren't doctrines. These aren't memory verses for me. This became my sustenance. This became my nourishment. Well, to finish off, I want to give you some practical helps now. Some very practical helps. One is our attitude needs to be one that just loves the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Amen. Even by faith, say amen.
Amen.
Say, I love the Lord.
I love the Lord.
Stronger.
I love the Lord.
Amen. Exercise your spirit of faith. Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you.
Good. In this way, come to the Word first. You're not promising God that you'll be a better lover than all the other believers. Wherever you are at, Lord, I exercise to just love you. My heart is turned to you. That's what it means to love the Lord. Your heart is turned to Him, inclined toward Him, and open to Him, to whatever He wants to say, whatever He wants to shine on. So this is more, sorry, now this is a lot of the practical points. I have six. First one, surround yourself with God's Word. Okay? Make it available to you. So if you have a little, you know, I like having a pocket physical Bible. The phone is fine. That doesn't mean you can't use on the Word in an electronic version. But I really like the physical. Okay, because you'll see in the next point. Have a bookmark or a post-it note so you remember where you are reading the Bible. In my experience, talking with a lot of students, how's your Bible reading? I forgot where I read. I forgot where I left off. I think it was like John 5 or 10 or 17. John? Well, maybe it was Mark. Okay, just have a bookmark. Pick up where you left off. Third, highlight. Take notes. Those in LA know that I like my system of highlighting and taking notes. But let me tell you, that is a great help to you because it lets you realize what you're looking at very quickly. But also, if you need to refer to something else, maybe your memory isn't the best. That's okay. You know what? Notes and highlights help you in this way. So that, you know what? Even with your lack of memory, the Word of God still has a way. It still has a way. Fourth, when you're musing on the Word, context is important. Context is important. Okay? Don't just hone in on one verse and ignore everything else completely. As you're considering that word, read a couple verses before. Read a couple verses afterward. The Lord can speak even more if you take things into context. Fifth, use the footnotes if you have a recovery version. Use the footnotes. Use the life studies. Use ministry books. If you don't know how to muse, get help from someone else who has utterances for that. Who here enjoys footnotes? Raise your hand. The ministry, anything like that. Okay, do you believe there is some genuine revelation there? Genuine experiences of the Lord? Why don't you use that as your prayer? That's okay. That's totally fine. A lot of my musing is based upon footnotes, cross-references, ministry portions. I'm not trying to be some champion of some new way of doing things. I'm getting all the help. I need all the help I can get. These utterances are so awesome. This outline, all these points here, they're from the ministry. Are you getting help from these outlines? Right? You guys will speak, right, at the end of the week here. You'll speak it yourself, but use that as your prayer even. Of course, we use the Word definitely as our main source for prayer and for musing. But sometimes you need help. I don't even know how to think about this. I don't even know how to consider this portion in the Word before the Lord. There might be a footnote. There might be a life study. I mean, there is. And you know, when you read it, you're like, oh, that's what this means. You know, Song of Songs, it's very much about the stages of a loving seeker of the Lord. Well, if you don't have the footnotes, you don't have the life study, you don't have the ministry. You know, I checked other study Bibles. I have maybe 10 different Bibles at home, or versions. And some study Bibles, Song of Songs, what they say is, Song of Songs is a very nice and sweet picture of a marriage relationship and how marriage is very sweet and how marriage is just very good in human life. That was the extent of their explanation for the Song of Songs. I mean, that's a nice sentiment. But I tell you, your experience of the Lord will be very, very short and shallow if that's all you get from Song of Songs. So I got the help from the footnotes. This is someone who loves God, seeks God. Lord, I want to be such a one. And then you start going through, oh, I'm struggling with something. You read it again. I was struggling with the same thing. And how do I get out of it? It's in the Word. Oh, that's how I get out. Get out of introspection. Freshly talk about my Lord to someone else. He's so lovely. He's the one of peerless worth. And then I'm out of myself again. And then finally, number 6, be accountable. In what way? With someone else. Study something in the Word, I would say, in a consistent way with someone else. Not too long ago, there was a brother, he and I, we were really enjoying Psalms. And in particular, Psalm 46 stood out. And so we'd see each other every so often and say, brother, there's a river. There's a river whose streams gladden the city of God. And we would just speak that to one another every time we saw each other. He's like, Chris. And I was like, hey, you know, I just, you know, how's it going? There's a river. And I, oh, you're right. Amen. And it helped, you know what, that Word just kept on flowing between he and I again and again, again and again. Then eventually there was a prayer within our being. I want to be part of that river. I want to be one that gladdens the city of God. I don't want to be a downer. I want to be one that gladdens. But I need to be in that river. Anyhow, when you have someone else to be accountable to, let's say you're like, hey, I want to read through, actually, you know, I think many of you might be doing a Gospel of John reading this summer. I don't know, maybe a different book, but I know at least UCLA, we've done John, I don't know, umpteen number of times. That's okay. Go over it again and again. Be accountable. Consider it, because you know what? When you muse upon the Word, it's not just for you, though you get a lot of benefit, it's for others. You get something that can feed someone, right? The next session, it kind of, all these sessions build on one another, you know, and they kind of flow into one another. Next session, it makes sense. You want to flow what you get from the vine into others to bear remaining fruit. Well, this is a musing on the Word. It's solid. It's there. It's right in your hand. It's not just, I'm walking around aimlessly, I can't even remember the Word, and let me just start thinking about my thoughts. But you have the Word in front of you, and you have one another to be accountable to help one another, remind one another, speak the Word to one another. If you're in brother's house or sister's house, speak the Word. Speak the Word. Even though it was the same verse for me and that brother, you know what? It was so fresh every single time. You may think, oh, it's so boring, you know, in the beginning was the Word. Oh, well, if I use that Word, and hey, Tim, in the beginning was the Word, you know, and you get this mental concept. I'm just saying the same verse. It's Don't think that way. Or choose another verse to encourage one another, to uplift one another. Amen. How about we pray two by two?